Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And we're collecting your contributions to our open source mapping project called Halted Development. If you know a condo development where construction has been halted since the recession began, or where it's been built but there are many vacant apartments, put it on the map. You can include a little description or a photo if you like. We'll be monitoring some of those sites for pedestrian safety and inconvenience, and also for unused apartments that might be turned into affordable housing. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show for our Halted Development map. And some new towers may be going up near the amusement park area of Coney Island. And our next guest is angry about it. New York City Council votes tomorrow to enable or not the entire redevelopment plan for Coney Island, and one of the few likely voices of dissent also happens to be one of the Democrats running for the Democratic mayoral nomination, Tony Avella of Queens. A centerpiece of his campaign is to oppose Mayor Bloomberg's approach to development, and Tony Avella is back with us now. Councilman, welcome back to WNYC.
It's always a pleasure, Brian.
And listeners who live in Coney Island, we want your voices in this conversation. Where are you in this development plan? 212-433-9692. So, Councilman, be a reporter for our listeners. What exactly is Council going to vote on tomorrow? What's on the table?
Well, basically, it's the entire redevelopment of Coney Island North, East, and West. And it's a very comprehensive proposal. The only thing that really concerns me is the original idea behind this whole rezoning was to preserve Coney Island as Coney Island, and obviously to put in more affordable housing, improve the infrastructure, but celebrate the historic nature of Coney Island. Unfortunately, the application doesn't do that. And in the opinion of the community Save Coney Island and the hundreds of people that came out to the public hearing that I conducted as chairman of the zoning committee, basically it's going to destroy what is Coney Island.
I gather from one thing you were looking for more amusement park and no high-rise towers right by the amusement park. Do I have that right?
That's absolutely correct. I mean, the whole key to the proposal should have been preserving the amusement part of Coney Island. That is what Coney Island is. What the mass proposal has done is to cut literally in half the amount of land that's going to be allocated for amusement, and then the other half that amusements would have been is to put high-rise hotels. The community Save Coney Island was very good in making their counter-proposal, which I support, which, again, expand the amusement area and take those hotels and move them to the north side of Surf Avenue. Because part of the argument for against the hotels south of Surf is when people drive by along Surf Avenue or come off the subway, you want to be able to see the amusements. That's part of the attraction. So now people driving by or coming off the subway are just going to see the hotels. And the other aspect of this is, why the hotels in that neighborhood? Because, you know, you would think that, first of all, it's pretty hard to get to drive. It's a long subway ride. I think everybody acknowledges that. The reason somebody might come to visit the hotel in the area, yes, you know, obviously you have the beach, but you would probably attract most of the people who would come to the hotel for the amusement. If you're reducing the amount of the amusement park to like one morning's worth of activities, why is anybody going to come to that particular hotel? So the whole basis of this plan seems to be like a house of cards.
Now, Councilman Dominic Recchia, who represents Coney Island, is quoted in the Epoch Times, you read that every day, don't you, saying you can't please everyone 100%, but the community, which has struggled for lack of good infrastructure, will gain a first-class emergency room, a school, and a skating rink. And with the development plan, there will be job training for local residents and permanent jobs in food service and hospitality, as well as make 35% of its housing units affordable for the local community. So why not look at it in that context, taking the good and the bad into account and saying, well, it ain't perfect, but worth it overall?
Oh, and I think the additional amenities that Councilman Recchi has gotten are good for the community. But you have to look at what was the original premise of the rezoning, and that was to preserve the amusement park, the actual nature of Coney Island. This doesn't do that. All those amenities are great, but if you destroy the very nature and historic aspect of Coney Island, we will have lost something that you will never get back. You know, and you mentioned this as part of the introduction about my mayoral campaign. You know, we do very little to preserve the character and charm of our neighborhoods. The city is made up of neighborhoods. And certainly Coney Island is unique, not only to the city, to the country, but the world. Everybody knows what Coney Island represents. The mayor's proposal will destroy that. You will never get that back. The amenities that you're talking about are great. The city should be providing them now without having to negotiate destroying Coney Island. And let me just for a second talk about the affordable housing. When the mayor does affordable housing, it is a joke, because we're not doing affordable housing for the people who need it. And that's going to be the same situation in Coney Island. Well, because it's based upon, and you've heard me talk about this, mm-hmm. the metropolitan area median income, which includes the wealthier neighborhoods of Nassau and Westchester. So it brings up that income level. What we need to do when we do affordable housing is the affordable housing component should be based upon the neighborhood median income, so that the people in Coney Island will benefit by this development. I'm not so sure under the proposal that that will happen. And what will happen is, as in many neighborhoods where we've employed this phony affordable housing component, all we succeed in doing is pushing out the very people who need help.
And I should mention that while we don't usually have guests who are on cell phones, we're doing it in this case because campaign finance law requires you to step outside of City Hall and talk to us from outside of there if you're going to engage in any campaign-related conversation, right?
That's correct. So, I'm actually at City Hall because of committee meetings.
Right. So I guess you see this Coney Island issue as part of a pattern of unwise development by Mayor Bloomberg.
Clearly it is. You know, Mayor Bloomberg's attitude seems to be luxury development and every neighborhood is going to be the same. That's destroying a quality of the city that we need to maintain. And again, people live in neighborhoods for a reason. They choose neighborhoods they live in. And we should be doing more to preserve that character uniqueness. And when you think about it, you know, the mayor touts tourism as a big city industry, and it is. Then why destroy one of the biggest tourist attractions in the city, and that's Coney Island? And he's doing that in other neighborhoods. You know, I could talk about the terrible rezoning that he did for Harlem, the 125th Street, river-to-river rezoning, which is going to basically destroy the very character. You know, after the mayor succeeded in pushing through that rezoning, and I voted against it, so did Charles Barron, I was interviewed by a Japanese TV station about that rezoning. And I said to them, they came to my district office, we did a whole interview, and I said to them, why are you interested? Because this was going to be televised in Japan. So why are you interested in a rezoning in Harlem? And they said to me something very interesting, which proves my point. They said the number one tourist attraction for Japanese tourists is Harlem. And if this rezoning was going to change it into Madison Avenue and eliminate the African-American experience in Harlem, they're not coming. So I think that proves my point, that we're destroying the character and uniqueness of our neighborhoods that are the very essence of New York City.
You mentioned the high-rise condos, the luxury developments. I mentioned our halted development map earlier, and since you're such a critic of development as it's been happening in the city the last 8 years, have you also been paying any attention to these halted development sites?
Oh, absolutely. And it goes to show you how this philosophy that the mayor has had, development, and development at any cost, in my opinion, that these people rushed in figuring they're going to make a huge amount of money in development, and now the fiscal situation has halted that. It's, you know, housing is a necessity, and the real estate industry has to be regulated. You want to make money, that's fine. Don't go into building housing. We have to regulate the industry so that development that goes on is appropriate, fits in with the context of a neighborhood, and provides real affordable housing. You know, under the mayor's plans, I don't know who he expects to live here, because even the middle class can't afford anymore. And I keep seeing middle class people in my district and throughout the entire city keep saying to me, we can't afford to live here. We're moving.
Now, let me go to Adam in Bensonhurst, because he's calling to support this redevelopment in nearby Coney Island. Adam, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Yes, hi. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Good. Well, you know, I've been a Brooklyn resident for 37 years, born, raised, and still here, raising my own children here. Coney Island has been somewhat of a wasteland for so long. I mean, the first huge investment there, I believe, was Keyspan Park, which is now, I guess, National Grid. I don't know if this person has actually taken a walk through Coney Island. I mean, how could they be opposed to the first major investment or first major proposal that puts, you know, the economy back on the table over there?
City Councilman Tony Avella?
Well, I've actually been at the Coney Island several times since this proposal came up. And I understand what the gentleman's talking about. The area needs to be improved. But that doesn't mean we approve the first plan that really comes through and that there shouldn't be more discussion with the community. And I chaired the hearing 8 hours, 8 hours, and I sat through the whole thing, except for maybe 5 minutes, public testimony. And the overwhelming sentiment from the people who live in Coney Island was the plan could be better. We don't have to settle just because the mayor wants to get something mm-hmm. through so he can go and say, hey, look, I'm improving Coney Island for his reelection. We can do it better. And what a number of council members who sit on my committee asked for during the public testimony was for the city to temporarily withdraw the plan, modify it based upon community concerns, and then we could come back and pass it. And, of course, the Economic Development Corporation and the administration refused to do that.
Let me ask you one global question about yourself and your record in our last minute and a half here. There's a Gotham Gazette article about you out this week, and it says if there's ever a voice of dissent in the council chamber, it's likely coming from you, that you've said no to these rezonings of Harlem, Coney Island, as you've said, Lower East Side, the area around Columbia University. He said no to little effect, this says, when the speaker proposed to put green carts in impoverished neighborhoods and rejected a bill to give women at reproductive clinics more protection from protesters. So let me ask you about those other two. Did you vote no on green carts for impoverished neighborhoods and no on more protection for women at abortion clinics?
I voted no on the green carts legislation because it was phony legislation. You know, the devil's in the details. It's very easy to put, oh, green in the title of legislation and then, you know, oh, anybody who votes against this is against green technology or improving access.
Aren't those vegetable stands for neighborhoods where there aren't a lot of supermarkets with produce?
Well, the issue is to change the zoning so that we can have supermarkets in those neighborhoods. And the small bodegas in those neighborhoods actually came out against the legislation mm-hmm. because they're there to provide fresh vegetables. And meanwhile, while Christine Quinn, who was one of the prime proponents of the bill along with the mayor, was suggesting this, the city is denying food vending permits to disabled veterans, which is their right going back to the Civil War. You know, the administration talks out of both sides of their mouths.
And can you give me 15 seconds on the abortion clinics?
I'm a pro-choice candidate. I've always been pro-choice. The problem with that bill is I also happen to be for free speech. There's a huge problem with that bill in terms of the definition of premises. It's supposed to be 15 feet from the premises where protesters can be. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean from the door? Does that mean from the parking lot? I don't believe any protesters should verbally or physically abuse women who want to go to these clinics. Anybody who does that should be arrested and thrown in jail. But there is an issue here with free speech.
All right. And that is where we have to leave it. City Councilman Tony Avella, he is running for the Democratic mayoral nomination, and we will continue to have you back on as this campaign progresses between now and September. Thank you very, very much, as always.
Thanks for having me on, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.